Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Psalms 86 and 11. Allow me to speak to you for the next few minutes this morning, if you will. I want to encourage you. I want to admonish you. I want to probe your heart, and I want to help you be brave enough to examine yourself deep within. Psalms 86 and 11 reads as follows: Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. Think about what you're reading this morning. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Some translations may read, give me a united heart, or a completely in one heart. Undivided, separated, different sections, but give me one after you. Ezekiel 11 and 19 reads as follows: I will give them, the Lord speaking to us, an undivided heart, and put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from their heart, their heart of stone, and give them a heart of flesh. And our final passage this morning of choice comes out of 1 Corinthians 7 and 35, and it reads, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way, an undivided devotion to the Lord. Put your hand over your heart this morning. We're going to speak to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord, with our hands over our hearts, surrendering them to you. Take your word this morning, Father, and speak deep within me. Give me understanding, Holy Spirit, that I might understand that which the Father requires of my life and how I live my life. Make me malleable in the hand of God, Holy Spirit, this morning, that my God might have his way with me, where he can truly look at my heart as undivided before him. Speak this word, Father God, and may it be seared deep within the wells of our hearts, Father, reminding us on a daily basis that what God desires of me is me, completely me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. In these passages that we've read this morning, it's no secret to see that the main objective of these passages is to teach us this very important truth concerning our relationship with God. And that is that God is looking and searching and wanting in his own heart a people with undividedness amongst them, or within them. It's important to the Lord that we understand that God is looking for himself an undivided heart, which means to love the Lord wholeheartedly, to love the Lord without reservation or restraint. Now, by definition, wholehearted means to completely and sincerely be devoted, determined, and even enthusiastic. Enthusiastic about serving the Lord. This morning we had Brother Morales speak to the Spanish church, and he spoke about the year of Jubilee and how he is believing that God is going to give us this year a year of Jubilee, of joy. And as I think about that joy and I read this passage, the only way that we can truly enjoy that joy of the Lord is by giving our heart in completeness to him. That's what undivided means, to be sincerely devoted, determined, and even enthusiastic, marked by a complete earnest commitment, free from all reserve or hesitation. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 reads, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These are the commandments that I give you today, These are to be upon your heart. I want to speak to you this morning for the next few minutes, if I can, concerning a heart after God. The kind of heart that God is looking for to find within you. The kind of heart, the kind of healthy heart, if you will, that God is looking for inside of those who profess His name as Lord. Now, in the physical, I'll speak about the heart a little bit. I can tell you that several years ago, before the Lord privileged me to be here standing in front of you as your pastor, I used to work in a hospital, and I know a little bit now. I probably remember nothing now because science changes so much that I've been out of the medical circuit, if you will, for 30-some-odd years. So I'm sure things have changed, and what I may say may be speaking about medicine in the 1950s. But I had the opportunity to work in open heart for a few years. And so I had the privilege of assisting several cardiologists, if you will, surgeons, in doing open hearts. And so I had my share to not only study and look at books and see what a healthy and unhealthy heart looks like, but I had the opportunity to see an actual patient open-chested and to see a heart that was both good or bad. And I don't know how many of us have seen one. But according to God and according to Scripture, a healthy heart is moved towards in seriousness with the Lord. It is a heart that cheerfully obeys the Lord. And on the other hand, an unhealthy heart struggles to live for God. It battles deep within itself to follow God and to obey and to hear God. It contradicts the commitments that God requires of us to live after Him. We spend our time more arguing with the Word of God than accepting the Word of God. We spend more time ignoring the Word of God than paying attention to the leadership and the counsel of the Word of God. When a heart functions that way, it is obviously one that is ill spiritually. I have a picture, if the guys back there have it, of a healthy heart and a sick heart. There is quite the difference, and I've physically seen them both. But you'll see that a healthy heart looks bright and red, clearly visible veins and capillaries and arteries deep within it. It is about the size of your fist, the heart is, when it's a normal size. It looks muscular and it looks firm. It looks vigorous, and when it pumps, you can sense the tensity and the strength of the heart as it pushes through its valves the blood that runs through your body. And the veins that lead away from your heart are surrounding the heart are clear and bright, and you can see the fluid passing through. That's when you're looking at a healthy heart. But I have seen the ill as well, and they look very much like the one to your right. It appears large and heavy. It beats labored. It struggles to push the blood through. It's dangerously occluded by in many areas. This is why people get grafts and things like that, coronaries, in their hearts, because of the lack of flow and the plugging of the heart, the lack of patency in the vessels that are supposed to be leading blood out of your body. And it's quite dangerous to have a heart in this condition, because at any time you could break loose of a clot in your heart, which will then turn into a heart attack, and part of the tissue of your heart will begin to die, which is what a heart attack is. All it is that your heart is lacking blood, and the flesh begins to necrose. It begins to die. And ultimately, for some, it will take a coronary bypass. For others, it'll take some other kind of surgery to bring patency again into the vessels, umbrellas as you've heard before, or sadly enough, sometimes they're unrecoverable and people don't survive. What causes us to have a bad heart? Well, there are many reasons. Scientists will point to many things in our lives. Sometimes they will say they are congenital. Sometimes we're born with bad hearts, they say, and there's nothing you really can do. A child can be born with a bad heart, and they suffer that way. But for many others, and probably the greater and largest percentage, it's because of ill-keeping and neglect. It's because of diet. It's because of what you eat. It's because of the lack of exercise and many things like that that they've come up with as reasons to why a heart can then turn into a bad position or condition. The heart needs attention. And isn't it funny that it's the most important part, if you will, of our bodies, and it's probably the least we think about. The heart. Now, I speak about the physical heart for a moment only to focus our minds on what we really want to talk about, and that is our heart in God, the spiritual aspect of our hearts. In our walk with God, when it comes to our hearts after the Lord, and they are important to God, obviously, we see in Scripture. There are people, even in the church and out of the church, certainly, that have both good and some have bad hearts, spiritually. There are people who have very healthy hearts in the Lord and people who are very sick in the hearts, in their hearts for the Lord, and some who are gradually getting sicker without even knowing that their hearts are beginning to fail. And as a result, many times, because of the lack of introspection or inspection, or testing, or examinations, or physicals, or seeing the doctor, we find out sometimes it's too late. And we find people in the hospital having to be treated because their heart was bad. The heart is critical to the health of the body. If the heart is healthy, the rest of the body will be healthy. The heart delivers health and healing through all of our blood system and our muscular system and every cell of our bodies. The heart injects and infuses life into every one of us. So then we clearly understand that if the heart is sick, so the rest of the body suffers. The Word of God warns us. It challenges us to consider this very important information. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 tells us that to disregard the heart is to disregard the wellspring of life. My son, pay attention to what I say and listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, he says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So without any further proof or conversation, we understand that the physical heart is very important for life. But so is our spiritual heart important for spiritual life. And the examination for us this morning is us. You know, Jesus had trouble with even the disciples. We're not alone in this battle to keep our hearts healthy. Even the disciples who walked alongside him had heart issues. And Jesus addressed them several times. We have several examples of which I may mention just a couple. In Mark chapter 6, verse 52, we find the Lord speaking and walking with them, and after he's speaking in this particular place, there's a multitude of people that begin to listen to him and gather around. And he preached kind of long-winded like me. But it got late in the evening. And so it was only proper for them, since they were speaking and entertaining the crowd, to not simply just dismiss them and send them to go home, though that's what the disciples wanted to do. Said, Jesus, it's already dinner time and we got to go. And Jesus said, so what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to send them home. He said, you can't do that. That's inauspicious of you. How rude. You have them all here. And there wasn't 100 people. There were several thousand people there. You have them all here. You've been speaking to them, and now you're going to send them away without feeding them. Don't feed them. He said, Lord, we've only got a couple of fish and a couple of bread. Secondly, we don't have money to go to the store and buy food for 5,000 people. Hello? And so right in front of their eyes, the Lord asks them for the fish and the bread. He prays over them, and the Bible says, and I'm just paraphrasing, of course, and of the fish he feeds the five, and of the bread he had, he feeds the five. And after everyone was satisfied and fed, they even gathered a lot of leftovers. So after that conversation happens, if you continue reading the same chapter and the same story, you'll find that after a little while, they find themselves now at the Sea of Galilee, and now they're in the middle of a storm and having all kinds of trouble, and they're fearing for their life. And when Jesus walks there, he speaks peace to the storm and to the winds and everything else, and there he sees their fear. And Jesus speaks to them in verse 50 of Mark chapter 6. And he tells them, don't be afraid, as he climbed in the boat with them. And he says to them, when he spoke to the wind and to the waves and everything died down, they were completely amazed. And the Bible says in verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. And what this simply teaches us here is that when your heart is hard, what Jesus was expecting from them is that he had already seen him perform something absolutely miraculous for the 5,000 people, that they should have remembered what Jesus was capable of doing, that when they saw the storm, they should have never feared. Their hearts should have been malleable and pliable to the faith and to the trust in God, that when they saw the rain, it can't be a big deal, because Jesus just multiplied nothing into a great something. But Jesus says, no, you didn't get it. You know why? Because your hearts are hard. They had not understood what he did with the loaves of bread and the fish. And we have several examples where Jesus speaks to them because their hearts were hardened. Jesus asked him several times, are your hearts hardened? Are you sick in your heart? They didn't realize, and many times we as believers don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when we allow our hearts to harden, we lose a lot when it comes to our relationship with God. Amen? We lose a lot. Even on the last day when Jesus died and was resurrected, do you remember how the disciples responded when they saw him walk in to sit at the table with them in that room they were hiding in? They didn't believe it was him. Mark 16 and 14 says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Again, when your heart is hardened, you stop believing anything about God. Everything you knew and you've heard about him, when you allow your heart to harden, you begin to lose every ounce of truth that he ever implanted deep within you. And so you begin to walk into this life absolutely hardened of heart, without any kind of sensation concerning the truths of the Lord in your heart. But God wants us, every single one of us, ladies and gentlemen, to have a healthy heart. Can you say amen to that? Because of the benefits of having a healthy heart. To have a sick and insensitive, if you will, or an ill heart. It makes you insensitive to the voice of Jesus. It makes you insensitive to the testimonies of other saints. It makes you insensitive and unable to use the faith and the power of God that is deep within you. You are unable to even understand the lessons of God. That is, when you hear God's word, you don't understand that your heart is not well. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we can sit in a service and we spend more time investigating and interrogating the word of God than receiving it. Amen? And you think you're well. We can sit down and listen to someone speak, whoever that may be, and you spend more time finding out what's not true. You spend more time putting Jesus on a jury seat, if you will, on a witness seat, and you look at him and you go through him and you spend more time investigating how much of what he's saying is true than receiving anything God wants to give you. God wants us to have healthy hearts, every single one of us. He wants us to have well-functioning hearts, life-flowing hearts. And the beautiful thing about this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is willing to do that. Jeremiah 24 and 7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their hearts. Ezekiel 11 and 19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their hearts of stone and give them a heart of flesh. This is God always willing and wanting to repair our hearts. Something that's very interesting about people who suffer a heart attack, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that a vast majority of people who have a heart attack never knew that they were going to have one? It's a silent killer. The vast majority, great, I can't give you percentages, but I can promise you that I could possibly say without being wrong that 9 out of 10 people who have heart attacks never knew that they were having one. I can tell you and give you a personal experience. It was years ago, my father was with us, and I was at work one day, and I made a phone call. I used to call him in the morning and say, hey, Dad, how you doing? And he'd answer, and I'm doing okay, son. Where are you? I'm working and good. And we'd be talking just a little bit, just a morning chat with my dad. And one morning I was at work, and I thought of my dad. I said, I'm going to call him. And I called him around maybe 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And he answered the phone. And I said, hey, Dad, good morning. How are you? And there was no response, because all I heard his voice, so I knew it was him. But there was no response, but I could hear him breathe. I said, hey, Dad, I said, how are you doing? And all he could do was clear his voice. I said, Dad, I don't have time to play. I'm working. I just wanted to say good morning. How are you, Dad? And then a moment's time, I said, he's not well. Something's wrong. And I wasn't working too far, maybe 3-4 miles. And so I quickly, without even telling any one of my bosses, I got in my truck and I ran home. And I found him standing outside of my house, of my mother's house or his house. And he was just standing looking at this particular barbecue pit that he had built for the church. And he was just staring at it. And when I went and found him, I was kind of upset because he was standing. I expected him to be on the ground because I thought he was sick. But he was there, so he looked perfectly healthy. And I said, hey, you don't play with me like that. I have to work. I left here. I'm scared to death here. What's going on with you? And when I turned him around, he looked at me, and his eyes were glass. And he just looked at me like this. And still going. And I knew. And so I took him inside the house, sat down, ultimately took him to the hospital, and he had had a heart attack. And my mother said, did he complain? Did he say anything? He said, nope. Got up in the morning like nothing. Did everything he was doing. He always went up and watered this and the other. He was already retired. But all of a sudden, I saw him standing there, and I saw him pick up his phone, But I didn't know who he was talking to, so I didn't pay attention. She went about her business, but he was standing out there for about 15, 20 minutes by himself, just standing there holding on to that barbecue pit. Never knew that his heart was failing. And if I can use that, ladies and gentlemen, to give us fair warning on why it's important for us to always examine our hearts, to see how it's flowing with God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, some of us maybe think right now that we're doing well deep inside, but yet you're fixing to have a stroke. Because of the little things that you're not paying attention to in your life. You know, and we don't like to get physical checkups. Who likes to go to the doctor here? Not me. I went one time. They told me I had cirrhosis. I'll never go again. This is why we don't like to go to the doctor, right? No, me parece que tengo muchas cosas mal. Go to the doctor. No, open a can of worms. That's why we don't like to go to the doctor. Nobody likes to go to the doctor because once he examines you, he's going to find everything that's wrong with you. But that is the worst thing. And I need to admit, I'm guilty of that. And possibly most men are guilty of suffering it through and say, I'll be all right. Give me a Tylenol. But that is the most dangerous thing we could ever do, because when you don't examine your heart, even for a little twitch, God forbid that you're fixing to go through something that is more than you really desired or wanted or expected. And so I'm speaking to you spiritually this morning, ladies and gentlemen, to every single one of us. God is looking for people with healthy hearts. But in order for us to live and to gain those healthy hearts, we need to examine the hearts deep within to make sure that we allow. Now, who examines the heart? Well, I can tell you that the Word of God will examine your heart. We don't need to go to the hospital. We don't need to go to a doctor. We don't have to pull out our insurance or nothing like that. But you do have to be willing, and sometimes we are unwilling to go to the doctor, and we are unwilling to go to the Word. Because the Word will open a can of worms. Come on, church. We don't want to go to the Word of God, because if we open the Word of God, He's going to put that stethoscope on my heart, and He's going to hear a missed beat. It's tachycardia or bradycardia. He's going to hear something going on. When he puts his stethoscope in my lung, he's going to hear a wheezing inside. And obviously, there's something in my lung. If he checks my pressure, he's going to tell me I've got high blood pressure. And I don't want them to pull blood from me, because if they pull blood from me, they're going to find out that I've got all kinds of sugars and all kinds of potassiums and all kinds of... No. And this is why we fear sometimes to go to God's Word, because the Lord is the best doctor. And He will detect any sickness in you, and He'll call you on it. But not only will He tell you what it is, but He'll tell you how to fix it. And Him being the master physician, He will fix it as well. Can you say amen? And so it's important for us to have a healthy heart. And He is willing to do that for us. Three quick examinations I'll give you and I'll finish. A healthy heart. How do you examine a healthy heart? Examine the level of your worship unto the Lord. I want you to think about your personal worship, not your neighbor's worship, not the worship team. But the level of worship in your heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Have you ever taken time to put a stethoscope to your worship? Is your worship real unto God? If it's not real unto God, you could be getting sick. You could start developing, you could be developing a heart issue. You see, a good heart will worship God freely. A good heart that where the blood of Jesus flows well will worship the Lord openly without reservation. Remember, we spoke about an undivided heart and how there is no restraint or hesitation. There is a sense of joy, an anticipation, joyfulness. When your heart is healthy with God, anytime the opportunity to give Him worship, your heart leaps for it. That's a healthy heart when it comes to our relationship with God. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts toward God. Paul expresses the very same thing in Ephesians 5 and 19. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God. You see, a healthy heart, ladies and gentlemen, is always free to express worship, praise, and thanks unto the Lord. Worship requires a sense of humility about us. An acknowledgement of who God is freely without reservation. He doesn't hold back any grudges or doesn't hold back any reservations as to why God would not receive His glory. And so the challenge is with that particular principle is that if you can come to church and everyone is in worship but you're just standing there and nothing flows from you, you might be fixing the suffer a stroke or a heart attack. If you can come to a prayer service and walk out as if nothing, some of your coronaries might be plugged in your heart. If you can come to a service and listen to a message and main thing that caught your eye was how long the service was. Or you walk out looking at your clock or your watch and saying, well, at least we're out early today. You could be getting ready to suffer a stroke spiritually. How was your worship? How is your worship? Can you bend your knee and pray? And from your heart flows worship unto Father, the Father. Or do you have to work through blood clots in your heart? You have to work through all these things to try to get something that feels for God. You could be getting sick. And we need not get sick of our hearts, because if we get sick of our hearts, we lose everything spiritually. How are your relationship with others? Colossians chapter 3 also says that, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. A sick heart is always grieved and angry at the world. A sick heart is always holding grudges. The Bible says in the same chapter, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body we were called to peace. Now, it doesn't only mean, ladies and gentlemen, us that are in this house, though that might be primarily the implication. But outside of the house, of this house of prayer, it also applies how we live our lives in the outside world. Is your heart always grieved? Are you always angry? Are you still carrying things in your heart? You could be carrying a blood clot in your heart right now that's going to give you a heart attack unless you release these things. Unless you allow God to examine your heart and let that forgiveness to come into your heart and purge those things out of you so that the blood of Jesus can flow freely. This could be something at home, spouse and wife, could be children, could be family members, father, mother, sister, brother, could be friends at work, could be anything. Anything that causes you to grieve and lose the joy of the Lord, your heart is getting sick. 1 Thessalonians 3:11, Now may our God and Father himself and Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. May he strengthen your hearts with peace. May he strengthen your heart with forgiveness. May he strengthen your heart by you protecting your heart from holding anything that's going to occlude the flowing of the joy of the Lord. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live in, together in unity. Please notice that it is this peace is the element that causes the rest of God to come in. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. And what does the oil represent here? It's the anointing, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. Unless there is harmony in the house, wherever you are at, harmony at home, harmony with your friends, all these things, you allow these things to flow, the anointing of God won't be able to flow freely unless you are free from these things. It keeps you away from being ornery and being sad and disappointed and angry at the world around you. That's a sickness of heart. And finally, this morning, how is your hearing and your obedience to God? Did you know, this is really a proven fact, that when people suffer a heart attack, the first thing that goes is their hearing. When people have a heart attack, millions have witnessed this. When people are having a heart attack, they can't hear. Nothing. And even if they hear, all they hear is blah, 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 but there's no understanding. And then they fall, and then they respond to the heart attack that they're going through. But the first thing that goes when someone is sick in the heart is their hearing. Of course, we see blurring. We see the thickness of the tongue and the numbness of this and the hurting of the arm and all of these things. But the first thing that happens physiologically to an individual going through a heart attack is that their hearing goes. And so we can apply this spiritually as well. When someone is sick in the heart in the church, when it's a relationship with God, they hear nothing. They don't hear the counsel of God. They don't hear the advice of the Lord. They don't hear the directives of the Lord. They can't be instructed on how to live for God. Absolutely deafened to hear the righteousness of the Lord and God's truth. Colossians 3 and 16 again says, let the word of God, work of Christ, dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. James 1 and 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. These things coupled together, to hear and to obey. Obviously, a person who is going through a heart attack can't obey. One of the ways to find out if an individual still has a pulse and has any kind of responsive action to him is to put your knuckle right through their chest. That causes severe pain to cause them to go, oh, to respond. And sometimes they don't do that because they're too far gone. Sometimes we go through things in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, as that particular knuckle that comes to cause us pain, and it still doesn't move us to God. It doesn't allow us or doesn't bring hearing to us to be able to listen to God's word. To lose the heart is a terrible thing. Obviously, physically, it's a terrible thing. But spiritually, I believe it's even a worse thing. Because we know that when someone passes because of the heart, but has Jesus in their lives, they've been translated to eternal life, and that heart will never go bad. All we're speaking about is a physical heart. But when someone loses their heart spiritually, we've lost everything. So this morning, this is the challenge. God wants us to look at our hearts today. Are you well in your heart today? Is your heart working well today? Is it beating? Is it nice, bright, and red? Are your veins clear? Are they flowing the blood of Christ through you well? And it's feeding you? Are you worshiping freely? Can you hear God's word and respond to God's word when he says to move? Can you move freely? A person with a heart attack can't respond. They can't move. But when you have a good heart, you respond, you stand up, and you're light at your feet, and you're ready to go. And this is the same principle we can apply to our walk with God. When you have a good heart in the Lord, you are responsive to God's word. You are responsive in obedience to what he says. So you can walk today, and as we leave this place this morning, check yourself out. Ask yourself, am I worshiping God freely? Or is there something occluding in my heart that doesn't allow me to really love him and to worship him? And when I hear God's word, am I listening or am I entertained somewhere else? And I'm numb. All I hear is blah, 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 and I still don't get it. You see, all these things are signs that something is wrong deep inside you. So many more things that we could compare a physical heart attack to a spiritual heart attack. We have no time for that this morning. But you understand what we're talking about. God wants us with healthy hearts. He doesn't want our hearing to be distorted and distant. He wants us to hear his voice clearly. Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. He says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart. Everywhere in Scripture we find the Lord looking for an undivided heart. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. God looks on the heart. Romans 8, 27. And he who searches our hearts knows. Revelations 2 and 23. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that God's word divides the thoughts and the attitudes of the hearts. David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Could it be possible this morning if someone needs to go to Jesus as a doctor? Could it be possible this morning that maybe we should sit down with Christ and have him examine us to make sure that we don't have a blood clot somewhere inside that's keeping us away from listening, from obeying, from loving him, from worshiping, from serving him, from rejoicing and living in joy in the salvation of Christ in our lives? If you need him this morning, you can just go to him. He said, I'll change that heart of yours. If you're sick, I will fix that. At the end of this journey that you and I are on called life, as we wait for Jesus, what Jesus is going to be looking for when he comes for his church is going to be the health of our hearts. He's going to look at how healthy our hearts are toward him. I pray in Jesus' name this morning that every single one of us not be afraid to have that examination. It'll save your life, not only on this earth, but it'll save your life eternally and forever.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.